Now, if you were with us last Lord's Day, you might remember that God's servant, C.T. Studd, had felt in his own soul the call of God to go to Africa. And that was against the better judgment, perhaps, of some of his friends and peers. They felt that his health wouldn't permit him to go to Africa. Some of them said that he was too old. Others felt that he didn't have enough financial backing. But nevertheless, he prayed and sought God and really felt that God would have him to go to Africa. So whenever he had made that decision, he discovered that in just 3 weeks' time, a large ship would be leaving England to travel down to that great continent of Africa. He had no finances at the time, but he prayed and sought the Lord. And God, over that three-week period, began to bring in the money. And he was able to buy a ticket to visit the nation that he felt God calling him to go to. He went there on his own in that vessel and then met up with some people on the coast, and they travelled through parts of Africa together, and they spied out the land, as it were, and C.T. Studd felt that God would have him to go to a very, I suppose, unreached part of Africa. At that time it was the Belgian Congo, famous for its swamps and jungles and cannibals as well. And so they went and they spied out the land, and after being there for a number of weeks, he returned back home to England to raise prayer support and to try to really establish a mission at that part of Africa. So he spent a little bit of time in London and travelling throughout England at that particular time. But then later on, he left after a number of weeks to travel back to Africa, and it was round about that time that he coined that great motto that many of us can quote, I'm sure, off by heart. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. So he returned to Africa, to the Belgian Congo, along with another young man who felt the call of God in his life as well. He was just 21 years of age whenever he left home, and his name was Alfred Buxton. It took them over 9 months travelling across Africa to reach the place where they felt God would have them to serve in the Congo. And they faced many, many hardships and many difficulties. Several times they contracted malaria. And then, of course, there was the great language barrier as well. They had to learn the language and the dialect of the people. And as well as that, many of the people that they came across were cannibals. And you would understand the great threat that that was to them. I certainly wouldn't like, just along with one other person, to travel across Africa and to face all of those hardships and all of those difficulties. And then one day, Alfred and Charles got separated from the people who were guiding them, the native Africans, and they got lost together. And they came across a group of tribal people who were cannibals themselves, and they were afraid and they didn't know what to do. And so Charles suggested that they take all of the buttons off their shirts and off their trousers that weren't needed to hold them up, and they used those buttons to trade with the people and to buy food. I don't know what those cannibals thought that they were getting, but nevertheless they let them off the hook, perhaps thinking that these two missionaries were too skinny to eat anyway, and Charles maybe didn't look that healthy himself, and so that kind of put them off. And so God was looking after them. And after 9 months of travelling through swamp and jungle and tundra and all of the rest of it, they arrived in the Congo, just on the outskirts of the Congo, and they were able to get a little plot of land to establish a missionary station. And of course, living in Africa, there were many different animals and insects and creepy crawlies that they weren't used to having in England. One night, whenever Charles was sleeping, he got out of his bed the next morning and was getting washed and getting ready for a day's work, and somebody came to him and said, "Mr. Studd, come and see this." And they went to Mr. Studd's bed and they found this small, thin, green snake that was poisonous. And Mr. Studd realized, if I had got bitten by that snake, there would have been no hope for me. And he realized that he'd spent the whole night sleeping alongside this little green snake, and God had protected him and looked out for him. And he thought about that verse of scripture in Psalm 91, verse 11, where the Lord says, I have given mine angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And so for 13 years, Charles Studd served the Lord in the nation of Africa. God was pleased to bless in a very mighty way his ministry, along with this friend of his, Mr. Buxton, as well. Many of the African people were converted. Some of the tribesmen had, as we have said, been cannibals. Some had been guilty of murder and all sorts of sins, and they had worshipped idols and gods of their own imagination. But whenever they heard the gospel, some of them, for the very first time, they came under conviction and they were converted and they trusted in the Lord, and there were baptisms as well, and there were great moves of God's Spirit, and churches were planted. And all during that 13-year period, as Charles prayed for more missionaries, God was raising up more young men and women to come to that part of Africa to pastor churches and to preach the Word of God. And within that 13-year period, a great missionary work and enterprise had been established. The New Testament was translated into the dialect of those people of the Congo, along with other parts of the Old Testament as well. But during the time, there were hardships and difficulties as well. You remember that C.T. Studd had four daughters, and they, by this time, had grown up. They were in their 20s. Two of them were married. Along with their husbands, they decided to go and help in the work in Africa to spread the gospel. And one of those couples had a little baby, and that was buried within just a few weeks of arriving in Africa. And so there were great difficulties and hardships as well. And during that time, Charles, his wife Priscilla, was very ill. She was at home. She never visited Africa. She never saw it. She was practically an invalid for those 13 years, confined to her home basically, apart from times whenever God enabled her to go and speak in weakness at a few meetings. But for the better part, she was confined to her bed, confined to her house. And yet she used that time to write letters, on average 20 to 30 letters every day. She wrote to people to ask them to pray for the work in Africa. And God was really working, and God was really moving. And maybe you think about your life and you think, well, I'm not young, I don't enjoy good health, or I don't have great ability, and I'll never be in the mission field. But like Priscilla Studd, you can pray and ask others to pray and support those who serve the Lord in far off places. Even some today connected with this very church. You can pray for them that God will use them and God will bless them. You see, there is a work for Jesus. Humble though it be, 'tis the very service that God would ask of thee. May God help us to serve Him with all of our hearts in these days in which we are living.